All right. Ron, thank you so much for the prayer. And we do want to continue to keep remembering the folks that are in need and hurting. And we got down through verse 16 of chapter 22 last time. We didn't get too many verses took care of, but the ones we did were important in dealing with Brother Paul's life. After the being struck down on the road and carried into Damascus. And so we'll pick up again with there, but I want to go back to 14 and read 14, 15, and 16 out of the King James, and then we'll pick up with the verse 17 as we continue on down through. But I want to kind of go back and remember what we went through, and I want to start with 14, and we'll do 14, 15, and 16, and then we'll start with our study. The 14 says this, and this is Ananias talking. And Ananias said, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, and thou shouldest know his will, and see that the just one, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. So, there was things that come from the voice of his mouth that even Paul now was not yet able to say or to utter. And 15 says this, and for thou shalt be his witness, talking about Paul. And Ananias said, you shall be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, Ananias says, why tarriest thou? He made the question, why are you just sitting there, boy? You got things to do. You know, he says, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So, not only that, but Ananias gave him a charge when he prayed for him and put his hands on him. And so that's where we got to. So now Paul is learning that he is becoming a spokesman also for the Lord Jesus Christ, and dealing through the Holy Spirit too with that somewhat. So we're going to get to verse 17. This is our study for this day. And talking about calling on the name of the Holy One that was mentioned in Acts 2:21 that we went over also last week. And I put in my notes, i.e., his name referring to the risen one. So this was what Paul, having seen and was struck down and then blinded and been given his strength back and given his substance back for food. Now he is going, he said, why are you sitting there? Get up and get started and get involved in this thing. Verse 17. And here I made another note, and it says verse 17 through 21 is a revelation from the Lord. And so we got to remember this as we go through this, because verse 17 starts off like this. And it came to pass. Now, we all know and have heard this a lot in our lifetime if we went to church a good bit, where it says, and it came to pass, which means, yeah, there's something here that's got to be followed to the letter. And so, it was something that Paul is going to refer to, because we got to remember that he's still standing on the stairs of the castle, on the stairs, and he's chained between one soldier and another soldier, with the other, one arm with the soldier and the other arm with the other soldier. And so he's still in this situation here. And he hadn't got out of that situation yet. And Paul says that when I was come again, literally returned to Jerusalem, and we read about that in Acts 9:22-26, it says, even while I prayed or was praying, and that word in the Greek is prosekamai, or in the temple, and the word temple there is the Greek word hieron, and that's a point made to give weight to his hearers, the people that were listening to Paul while he was telling his story on the stairs. And Paul says, I was in a trance. Well, we know that a lot of times, if God has something he wants said, that he can appear to people in a trance or in a way that they understand more, in a more godly way.
Or at least he did then.
Yeah. And that Greek word is ekstasis. And ek there means out of. Out of his, maybe out of his own mind and getting into the mind of God, he says, I am out of, or he said, or the notes mention that this was kind of an out of the body experience. And so, this was what happened shortly thereafter, that we read where it came to pass, because it was got to be done the way that God wanted it done, because that's the only way that it could come to pass. If God meant for it to do that, it was certainly done the way that God wanted it done. Okay, then we get to verse 18. And some of these verses of Scripture don't carry a whole lot of heft, but some of them do. Verse 18 says this, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So, you know, Paul was in Jerusalem to do the vow, you know, and so when all this stuff started up, so it says. And when he was in this kind of out of body experience, and he said, and saw him. So in his out of body experience, Jesus saw him and also heard him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly with, and that word with is a little Greek word, en, with speed out of Jerusalem. And here, this out of again is the word again, ek, ek. And that's the full stop there in 18, if you'll notice. Get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, full stop. Why? Or what, for what purpose? And this is Jesus still talking to Paul, the one that came to him on the Damascus Road, knocked him down, knocked him over. He said, they will not receive that testimony concerning me. He said, they're not ready to hear it yet. So here again is another situation that Paul gets the information that he, having been given his sight back, been having given his food, his nourishment, been given all this stuff back, but he still isn't able to give the conversation that he needs to give to these people and so forth. And so we get down to verse 19. In 18, he said they will not receive, and that Greek word is paradoshimai. And it's a two-word thing, and also it's a tapiosis. Thy test money is concerning me. And verse 19 says this, and I said, or spoke up, saying, in verse 19 it says, Lord, thou know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. Here again is another full stop. So here in this trance of this back and forth version of going back and forth from one to the other. So when Jesus told him, said, get out of Jerusalem. They just won't hear you now. They won't believe what you're saying now. Because what had happened at that point, in Paul's mind, they didn't know, you know, that situation. And he says, and I said, or I spoke up saying, Lord, they, the Jews, know that I imprisoned. And the word imprisoned there is epistemai. Was imprisoning, and that imprisoning there was the Greek word phylakizo, and beat, or was beating. And that equaled the little short Greek word, dero. In every synagogue, and it says this, and the note says this showing Paul's system, or systematic actions, imprison them that believed. And here again is the word Greek, pistero, on, And that word on there is the Greek word epi. That the ones that didn't believe on him there, and this is another full stop. So Paul makes his statement here that, yeah, Lord, I beat him. I imprisoned him. And I beat him in every synagogue, because this was Paul's way of doing these things. He had these papers. He could take them back to Jerusalem and put them in, evidently put them in the bigger jails than they had there in Syria. And he says, those that believe on thee or this name. And so he made the statement back to the Lord, yes, I did that. And he wasn't used to keep his secret, because the Lord knew he'd done it anyway. So here we go. He says in verse 20, and when the blood of the martyr, Stephen, we remember Stephen in Acts 8 and in the first part of Acts 9, the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiments of them that slew him. So, what he told the Lord to begin with, yeah, you know, I really had my time with him, but you know that. But he said, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, he said, I took part of that too. And he didn't say he wasn't guilty of that. He said, I, Paul, also was standing by and consenting. And consenting there is in the Greek word synedokio, unto his death. So he was consenting synedokio unto his death, and kept or was guarding the raiment of them that slew him. And that Greek word is anaerio. And so he made it clear that, yep, he was holding the coats, he was holding the outer garments of those that did this deed. And he was consenting. He didn't open his mouth against those that done Stephen in. At that point, he just kept his mouth shut.
If he had the papers, he was probably in charge.
Yeah. And it says, and he, Jesus, said unto me, full stop. Depart, for he said, and he said unto me, depart, which is after depart is full stop. He says, for I will send. And that Greek word is ek apostello. And that's in Appendix 174-2, if you want to look at it somewhere. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles, or nations, and in the Greek it's the word ethnos, And so, having heard that, then we're going to look at the rest of this, and it comes from verse 22 through 30. So we just read up here, we read two or three verses there as to what Paul was going to admit to. And whenever that was finished, then Jesus said to him, "Depart, for I'll send you hence unto the Gentiles, unto the nations, the ethnos." Now remember, he's still chained between these two guards standing on these steps. He hasn't gone anywhere. And he's before them at the castle, and they haven't went up the steps and went in. I guess it was kind of an upper room there, one way or another. But verses 22 through 30 kind of finishes up this part of that deal with telling what was going on, because the Lord had spoke to Paul, and Paul has spoken back to the Lord, and then the Lord had spoken back to Paul and says, "Depart, get out of there." So you see, there was a little back and forth going there before we get into verse 22. And because it goes from Christ to Paul to Christ and now to the audience, to the people who wanted to get Paul. In verse 22, because 22 through 30 deals with this stuff. And I guess 22 through 30 is the rest of the chapter, I believe. Let me look and see. Yeah, it's the rest of the chapter. Verse 22 said, "And they gave audience, or were listening or following Paul's words, until this word Gentile showed up, and then lifted up their voice and said, 'Away with such a fellow. Why was this so bad with them?'" Okay. Now they're Jews. And he says, "Away with such a fellow. The thought of Gentiles on an equality with Jews was intolerable. From the earth. For it is not fit," Kathikeo, "that he should live, to teach the Gentiles that the Messiah of the Jews was a crucified malefactor, was an outrageous offense to the Orthodox Jews."
Yeah, they wasn't having that.
So they said, "No, we've listened to you all we're going to listen to you, and this is the reason why." They gave audience. They were listening. They're following Paul's words or what he was telling the story, until this word Gentile came up. And then lifted up their voices and said, because they just pretty much in unison said, "Oh, we're not going to listen to this."
Probably didn't take them long to make up their mind either.
Yeah.
After he said that,
"Away with such a fellow." They weren't going to believe Paul. This was the true thing that was said before, that whatever you say about me, they're not going to believe you concerning me.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was a known thing by God before it happened. Okay. And Way was such a fellow. The thought of Gentiles on an equivalency with Jesus was intolerable. They just couldn't take it. The Jews said, "He's ours," although they sometimes didn't believe it. But he was ours, and what been given to us, we're going to keep. And he says, was intolerable from the earth, full stop. Now, the earth there, I think, is the word G-E-G. Well, when you speak of the earth, and when God was making promises to the Jews, he says, "You will be my people, and I will be your people. I will be your God, and you will be my people." And said, "Your number will be as the sands of the sea, and the stars of the sky." And they wasn't planning on giving up any part of that. And although they might have not been really in tune with God either, so at that point. But they said, "For it is not fit that he should live." They said, "Well, let's just kill him. Let's kill Paul." Well, we've heard that little story before too already. And that didn't work out too good. So, I don't know if they knew very much about that or not, but they said it's not fit that he should live to teach the Gentiles that the Messiah of the Jews was a crucified malefactor, evildoer. We're not going to listen to him if he says that our Jesus was a crucified malefactor. Well, whenever they did hear it from Paul, he says, "You took and slew and put on a cross." So they had evidently heard that story before in order to know what they're talking about here of a crucified malefactor. Okay. And it was an outrageous offense to the Orthodox Jew. And guess what? This Sanhedrin council was at the temple area, because what goes on from here in verse 23 on, what goes on from here, the chief captain, he kind of comes up with the understanding that he can't do anything to Paul because they were going to scourge him, and we're going to find out about that a little bit. But the fact is, the scourging was against the law to do to a Roman citizen. And so Paul has to turn around and state that he is, yes, that he's a Roman citizen. And so in order to save himself from these people who said that he should not live and teach that our God was a crucified malefactor. And so they didn't want to have no part of that. But so Paul had to make arrangements to save his skin again. I mean, pretty much immediately after he had been or just a short time after he had been given the understanding that he was going to be the mouthpiece of Lord Jesus Christ. Going to bed? And he says, and as they cried out, or were crying out, Kreazugo, Kreugazu, and cast off, or riptoed in the Greek, riptoed their clothes. This is their outer garments, of course. And they started throwing dust, or was throwing in the Greek bellow, dust. And holding them in the clothing, holding them in their hands, or tossing them up to or into the air. They were throwing dust and throwing their outer clothing up into the air to show their disdain for this man that they're calling Paul. And they were holding their clothes in their hands, and along with some were throwing dust, and I guess the others were either throwing dust or tossing their clothing up into the air. So they were really in a fit here. It was something that the chief captain didn't want to have a lot to do with, but he didn't know how to deal with it very much.
He usually had a ride on
it. Yeah. Because he was going to have to make a rendition, I guess, to the Roman people that were over him. Because he was over 1,000 men here. He had 1,000 people at his disposal. Verse 24 says, the chief captain, one over 1,000 men, commanded him, Paul, to be brought into the castle off of the stairs now, and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore, or on account of, what caused those crying out or shouting out against him, why they were doing that. All of a sudden, they listened to him, they listened to Paul for a while, and then when he said what he did about the Gentiles, they went berserk.
So we'll beat the truth out of you.
Yeah. So I reckon that's it. They're gonna scourge him till he confesses up, or comes to a different situation from what he's at now. Okay. To be brought into the castle, and that's to be taken up off of the stairs and evidently taken inside. And bade that he should be examined. And that Greek word there is amenetizeo, by scourging. And scourging there is the Greek word mastic, and it equals our word plague. So that's where we get the word plague from, that he might know, epigizinsko, whereof or the account of the diameter of what cause they cried shouting out against Paul. So, chief captain, he wanted to get to the root of this thing. He about had all he wanted here, but then there's another little situation that happened that he couldn't get through that. So verse 25 says this, and as they bound him, so they took the chains off of him, but the bounding here is the Greek word proteno, and it means that they were going to stretch Paul out or to tie him up with thongs. They were going to stretch him. They were going to tie him and get him in a position that he absolutely couldn't help himself, and it would be a bad thing for a man's health to have that done to him. And so, in the thongs there, in the word is the Greek word hamas. And Paul said unto the centurion that stood by. Now they were soldiers and they were centurions. And a centurion is down below the chief captain, because a centurion is a man over 100 people. And they were some of them in this group, evidently. And a lot of these centurions knew some of the ways that the Jews did their business, because they were dealing with them, the Roman law to the Jews. They were the ones that were kind of in charge of the Jews. But here you got a chief captain, so he's over all these others. Okay. And Paul says, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and is uncondemned? Okay. And this is a double word in the Greek. And it's akata kratos. Because he's talking about a man that's uncondemned, or a Roman that is a Roman, is a His nationality was a Roman, and that he was uncondemned. He hadn't been tried yet by anybody. Akata kratos.
Yeah, that question changed the whole dynamic of the situation.
Yeah. And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, full stop. For this man is a Roman. And there was a note in the Companion Bible that says this. The Chiliarch. So this is another one of these Roman people that have some control over what the people living in the Holy Land knew or had to do or could do. The Chiliarch, having given his orders, had gone to his quarters. So we here have a problem. Well, the chief captain wasn't going to go to the chili ark because evidently the chili ark was over him or someone in the government of the Roman government that had power or had at least had more power than the chief did. And he had given them the command to beat Paul, and he had left and gone to his quarters. He wasn't going to stand around and watch it.
No need.
But no need to. Yeah. He had already been out. That was a form of condemning Paul if it took place. So you see, this is like some of the laws that we got. Well, we can go so far, but we can't do anything else until somebody else makes a decision.
Not to a citizen, because a citizen has a right.
Right. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, as a citizen, he had the rights of that.
That's what this is all about.
And we'll get to that. Okay. So here we got a problem. The centurion heard that. And he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, full stop." You better halt what you're doing right now and think about it a little bit. Yeah. For this man is a Roman. And then they give the note there about the chili ark, having given his orders and had gone to his quarters. So, evidently, the chief captain did not go to the Chiliarch's quarters and get him involved in it again. So he said, "Okay, we'll try something else." So we got a problem here. So verses 27 and 28 go together, and that's, I was telling Ronnie earlier, the verse 27 in the, when they laying out this, this situation that the Bible is, how it's put together.
The structure, yeah.
Yeah, the structure of the Bible, there ain't no structure for verse 27. Not no structural structure. Okay, so we're going to do 27 and verse 28 together. And I'll go ahead and read it, because he says, "Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Paul, tell me, art thou a Roman? And he, Paul, said, Yea." Well, that was all it was in 27. A question was asked and the answer was given. So why would they need to be structured in that? Well, we've got a problem here because, the verse or two before that, you didn't know what was going to take place at this point. And he said, "Yea." Verse 28. "And the chief captain answered, and his answer was this, to Paul, did with a great sum obtain this." And obtain this freedom. And Paul said, "But I was born free." Or free born. Okay, so Paul told him, the answer to that question, I didn't have to pay for it. I was born free. And so, uh, Paul made the, the chief captain made the statement to Paul in a question form, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" And he said, "Yea." Wasn't any doubt about his answer to that. And so the chief captain evidently got the, needed a little more than that. And he said, "And the chief captain had answered David with a great sum." And that great sum there in the Greek is kephalon, obtained. And obtained in the Greek is kataomai. Freedom. And freedom there in the Greek is politia. I-T-I-Z-E-N, Eisen, politeism, like a, the freedom was like a political, writing that they had that would give a person his, freedom if he was, had been a slave or whatever. And Paul said, "But I was born free, or freeborn." And we got two more verses, and we got about that much time. Then straightway, and straightway can be exchanged for forthwith. And straightway they departed from him, Paul, which should have examined him full stop. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him up. And so the chief captain felt some guilt here.
Yeah, they apprehended him without any probable cause,
yeah.
Basically. And they just, at the whim of the crowd, they had tied him up and stretched him out between the two soldiers, as you said. He was,
yeah.
His rights were being pretty heavily violated.
Yeah, taken down, yeah. And the people that they were supposedly going to do this, stretching him out and scourging him and all this to get a reason out of him for all this, they just kind of left, I guess. And, so, on the morrow, it says, and this is verse 30, this is the last verse of chapter 22, and we've been into it in the chapter 22 for some time now. But it says, "But on the morrow of the next day, because he would wishingly, had known the certainty accused of the Jews, he loosened him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council, which was the Sanhedrin, to appear and brought Paul down, evidently out of the castle, and set him now down before them." And so this is the end of chapter 22. So now, he goes from about to be stretched and beat and done all those things too, and been questioned and all this kind of stuff. Now the chief captain turns him over to the council of the 80 Jews for their rendering. So evidently they were close by in the vicinity of the throne area, because the castle was evidently pretty fairly close to the throne area, because when all this got started, you know, one of them come running up and said, "Hey, this man, he's been over yonder teaching these people that they didn't have to do this, that, and the other according to Moses' law, and that's him." And so that's when it got stirred up again. So, man, it didn't take nothing to get them boys in a fighting mood. Now, it just reminds me of a bunch of people milling around somebody that they thought didn't need to be there, and they was wanting to get rid of him one way or the other. It didn't bother them too much how it was done. Oh, and so now Paul is going to have to sit before the council of the Jews in chapter 23. And so that's where we're leaving off here in verse 30. I didn't think I'd get that many verses read, but it's not a lot of... It gives you enough detail in here in the notes in the companion Bible. If it was that way, it kind of gives you a pretty good description of what was going on and how it was happening, and how that the Lord was talking to Paul in a trance, he says, because that little story was only for Paul's hearing. And so then Paul made the statement that, "Yes, I did these things, Lord." But Paul knew by this time that he better not tell the Lord a lie, because that wouldn't work. And so he said, "Yeah, I even helped the coats, the clothes of the people that slew Stephen." Didn't say a word. And so all this went out and went on, but we had to go to two or three places to get it. You know, you get some of it early in Acts, and some in the ninth chapter of Acts, and the eighth and ninth chapter of Acts, and then some on down the line till you get down here to the 22nd chapter, where Paul leaves the Ephesians crying on him, wanting to stay in him. Said, "No, you'll see my face no more. I'm out of here." And so then he had problems on the way to Jerusalem. He had two different people that told him, "Don't go there. Don't go there. It ain't going to be a good thing for you."
Well, here we are. Remember the thongs?
Yeah.
They didn't stretch. They said, "This is what's going to happen to you."
Yeah.
And Agabus was right.
Yeah.
He called
them. Oh, absolutely. And you don't think God had a... See, God had a hand in all this. All this. Because Paul didn't know at this time when he was telling them in Ephesians, he didn't know the rest of the story, because the rest of the story didn't come till the Jews had been set aside in Acts 28. He couldn't tell them that at this time. So there was things he could say and things he couldn't say. Yeah, he even told him, said, "They ain't going to believe you if you open your mouth."
Mm-hmm.
"Not right now. Maybe later, but not now." And so when Paul did get, you know, we haven't got through the hurricane yet, and the boat tearing up, him getting put off on some of these islands there and healing everybody, and then all of a sudden he couldn't heal nobody again. So all this stuff is working its way through to get to what God said, and it would come to pass.
It would take a very astute person, and I ain't saying it can't happen, but to just read the scripture and pick up all these things without studying and trying the things that differ and comparing.
Absolutely.
I don't say anybody could ever get to the point of understanding that you can have without doing it this way. Whether you go through and you cross compare the scripture.
Yeah.
Let scripture interpret scripture. That kind
yeah.
of thing.
Well,
and even notice, like you said, that there was a time when he could heal, and now there's a time that he can't heal. What happened?
Yeah.
And a lot of people run around today still thinking that they're able to heal when they're not.
Right. But that's the way the word's written, and it's written, and it's put down that way and put together in a sense that you could look in more than one place and generally get the answer to most things that you're looking for if you really need to know.
Yeah, amen.
If God has said something about it or set it up to where it will get known. Because sometimes that happens. But you see the things you have to go through to get that. And, you know, somebody that has the Holy Spirit dealing with them, and they put it off and finally said, well, I can't put it off no more, Lord, I believe that. Well, then they might begin to learn something. Before that, it was just like Paul. He said, they told him, they ain't going to believe you, boy. If you say something, they're not going to believe it. Well, they didn't.
I'm not going to hear it here.
Well, you know, if you become a believer, it don't give you immediate. It don't give you immediate knowledge of God's word.
Yeah, amen.
And so, I'm sorry people think that sometimes, but that's the way I've understood it. That's the way I've come by it. So thank you, folks, for being with us, and thank you for going through this with us, because it was necessary. Now Paul knows a lot more. He knows he's going to be a spokesman, and he knows he's going to have to do things that Christ didn't get to do, that the Father didn't let the Son do while he was here on the earth teaching and preaching, that he had to be brought back down and redone and come back as a man. But he's God's man and man's God, in order to die and to take away our sins and to get that part of his promise to the Father finished. But there's still more yet to come, because we ain't got to the end of this yet. Nor can we until his will is done. So, thank you for your time and love and listening and getting involved, because I know a lot of times we need to do some of this looking for ourselves, because it's something that's there, but we need to dig it out. Like Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story is still an ongoing thing.
Amen.